Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the Can We Help You podcast, your favorite non-professional advice self-help podcast. I'm Jax.
Oh God, I'm Sasha.
Oh God, I'm Franco.
Every few days, we come together in our advice studio. And we get together and we sit around in a circle and questions happen, they appear. We read them out and we go, hey, can we help you with that?
What the fuck was that?
I don't know.
What is
just something different. I've been watching.
Like I'm listening to a meditation class or something.
Not a good one.
No, I started watching that show. I think it's called In the Know or something like that. It's about a radio host. It's a stop motion thing. It's super weird, but I feel like he's very pretentious like that. I just wanted to try that out to see if we could be a pretentious-y, like Ira Glass style podcast. I don't like it.
I think the answer is no.
I'm glad you've discovered that you don't like it.
No, I don't like that.
Let's not go back there.
Computer says no.
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 No. I'm Ira Glass.
So, not last episode, but the episode before.
Yep.
We were talking about Taylor Swift, right? And I kind of was like,
yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to get tickets.
Oh, God.
Guess who got tickets?
How?
Alexa,
everyone.
Stop.
Oh, for fuck's sakes, Jax.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but you said Taylor Swift and my Alexa must have like heard you say it and she started playing Taylor Swift.
What?
Our song.
Oh
our
God,
song is a slam screen door. So I don't know what happened there, but sorry, I just had to turn Alexa off. But I can't believe
creepy.
That you, how did you get tickets to Taylor Swift?
So my boss and I, because every day, like in the lead up, Ticket Tech was randomly dropping tickets. So we were just kind of keeping the page open. We were going on to Marketplace where fans can resell their tickets. So we put it into the universe that we wanted to go. So it got to Friday and we hadn't gotten tickets and she'd hit up WeWork at Today FM and she'd like hit up the promos guys and was like, hey, like, are any going to fall out of the cupboard?
I'm sure you're the only people who wanted Taylor Swift in the whole
room. I'm sure the promo guys hadn't even
The difference is she's worked with them for like 15 years. Like she's in with them. So it was our last ditch attempt and they're like, let's see what we can do. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to go. Anyway, I left at 12 on Friday and I went, we're not going, but you know, maybe I'll see you there. Ha ha ha. So I'm sitting on Saturday night. Shane and I had planned a very nice, chill, homemade pizzas and we were going to watch the Matildas.
Yep.
Settled in. It was like 1:30 on Saturday and I'd made myself a cup of herbal tea and I'd put on Mona Lisa Smile of all movies.
Oh my God.
I had settled in for a nice.
That is a very specific vibe.
Isn't it? It's like lemongrass and ginger tea. Anyway, oh, and I'd clean the house all day. I was just in a great time. And then my phone rings. And I look down. I'm like, who the fuck is bothering me? Like, leave me alone. I just want to watch Mona Lisa smile. And it was my boss. And I went, oh, my God, she's fucking got tickets. And I answered the phone. I go, no, you didn't. She goes, we're going to Taylor Swift. And this is 1:30 on the Saturday. We had tickets for the Saturday night show. So from that point on, it was battle stations getting ready. I didn't have anything Taylor Swift to wear. I didn't have any Eras outfits. I'm not a Swiftie. I like
anything
some of her
sparkly?
Songs. Nothing sparkly. I literally don't own sparkles. I decided to go very monochrome and then just let my makeup do the talking. Uh-huh. So I wore just a black t-shirt dress with like sneakers, and then I did like bright pink eyeshadow and shit and pigtails. I don't know. I just had to make it work for me. My hair was dirty. Okay. Yep. Like it was just like it was literal last minute. I did not think we were going to get tickets to Saturday. I thought we might pick up tickets to the Monday. But anyway, we got tickets for the Saturday. Fuck, what a time. It was such a great time. It was a little long for me as a non-Swiftie, and if there's anyone listening to this.
3 hours, right?
It's 3 hours and 15.
Yeah, it's all.
It's long. It's long. And you know what? Look, I know that all the Swifties have their favourite albums and stuff, but the house set where she just sits on a house and sings about eight different songs.
So bad.
That dragged for me.
Yeah.
Not bad, but dragged for me.
So I looked up the set list. So the opening set, whatever it was, again, I don't know. I know Reputation. Roughly understand the Red because that was when she was like super pop star. And I wasn't really into pop music at that time, but I knew all the songs because I started working in commercial radio. And then like 1989, but I couldn't tell you what songs are on it. I just know I know songs on that album. Anyway.
1989, one of the best, I reckon one of the best pop albums of all time. Okay. Just putting that out there.
Nice. But like I looked up the set list, she'd done the opening, and then I'm like, I don't know this song. Then she started doing weird, like, acoustic-y, not the acoustic set, but just like went down a notch. And I went, I'm going to go get merch. Jax, I used your tip from when you went to Taylor. Still lined up for 45 minutes, I reckon. Maybe not 45, maybe half an hour.
Half an hour of her being on stage.
It was Evermore.
I tell you what.
It was the Evermore set. I skipped the whole thing.
Well, maybe everyone took mine because I've been telling people, if you're not a big Swiftie, go through the house set because it's a little – drags a little, gets a little slow. But when I went in Lover, which
oh,
is
no,
like,
Lover's good. That's good one.
You don't go during Lover.
No, I knew I don't like the song Lover, and I don't like the Archer, so I knew that was coming up, and I was like, I'm gonna whack upstairs, get the merch, and I'll be back by Fearless. And you know what? I went upstairs and there was like four people in the queue. And that's like six or seven, maybe five or six songs in. There was like barely anyone there.
Oh, yeah, no. There was still quite a decent line when I went. But when we walked in, I walked past the merch stand and it was stretching all – like it was like one line. Yeah. It had like a little zigzag and then it was – would have been like an hour-plus line when we got there.
So what merch did you get?
I just got a T-shirt. I meant to wear it today. It's next to me though. I just got the Eras shirt.
Oh, you got the same shirt as me.
I have seen that shirt so many times everywhere.
But with the Australian dates on the back.
Yeah. But the ones that she had that they were selling before the shows was like beige. And then obviously
yeah, mine's
ran out
beige.
I just got a – yeah, no, mine's just white. So I got a
– You got the cheap iron-on one. They're like, shit, probably. We need to iron on some more
probably.
T-shirts.
But I don't know if you – it was fucking amazing. I had such a great time. I'm so glad I got to be part of the cultural moment. I hope no Swifties are listening to this pissed off. But, yeah, so I just wanted to let everyone know that I did get to go to Taylor. However, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, I have been sick as a dog this week and I don't
you
know
got
if
the Taylor,
I,
Taylor Swift virus.
Maybe.
The Swift flu.
Swift flu.
The T-Swift flu.
I wish it was Swift. I've been sick for 4 days straight. Today's like the first day I've been able to sit up without needing to lie down, which is lovely. But, yeah, no, I went and it was lots of fun. Woo. I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not a converted Swiftie.
You're not converted yet?
No, God, no. Like, I'm not, that was my first pop concert. I don't think I've ever been to a pop concert before.
How?
I went to five when I was five, funnily enough.
Oh, my God, five.
Oh, my God.
I went to the Black Eyed Peas when I was, like, 11.
Wow, in their peak.
Oh, my God.
But I go to, like, more, like, rock or electronic sort of gigs. I don't really go to... I'm not really into pop music, so this is my first pop show.
I don't know if Jax has ever been to a show that isn't a pop show, so So I get why you might think that's a bit weird.
I went to Nickelback once, so
that's pop.
That's pop. Wish that I could go to a Nickelback concert.
It was actually a great concert.
Do you want to know something funny though? So Blink 182 was playing the same night, but at Kudos Bank Arena, which is next door. So I got a memory. You know how your iPhone will create photo memories for you,
and
it said Blink 182, and it's me at the Taylor Swift concert.
So your phone, what it's done there is it's looked at your age and it's tried to figure out which one do I think she was at.
Yeah. Of course, you're Blink 182.
I guessed wrong.
Did you get all the did you do the chants? Did you get all the chants and the claps and the take me to church, Taylor, and the 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch?
Okay, 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch, I got after people said 1, 2, 3, because I didn't know what song it came in. I just knew it existed.
Right.
So I heard everyone go 1, 2, 3 and went, let's go, bitch. The one I did know and I was prepared for was the Sydney chant with blank space. Wait, is that blank space? Yeah. Boys only want love if it's torture. Sydney, don't say I didn't, say I didn't.
I saw that online and I was like, what's going on here? But I hear that it's a Sydney thing.
So she, one of her, what was the last tour she did? Was it Reputation? It was
Reputation that was on Netflix for a while, I think.
So she, in that, she one, the Sydney show must have been one that was part of the TV movie.
Yeah, that was the one that was filmed.
Right. Well, that's why, because in it she bangs the golf club thing on the and it goes bing bing, and then she's in Sydney, so she goes Sydney and da da da. So she doesn't do that in this tour, but everyone in Sydney.
But she does have the golf club.
Yeah, yeah, and there was still that gap for everyone to say Sydney. Yeah, I didn't have any 12-year-old screeching in my ear, thank God, because I've seen quite a few TikToks of people
going absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I didn't see anyone get proposed to, which I really wanted to see, but I didn't see it.
I think that's done. It's done, guys.
Nah, it's never gonna stop. It's never gonna stop.
It's done. It's been done. It's lame now.
No, it's cute. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want to be proposed to that way, but I would love to see someone else get proposed to that way if that was what their dream was. I think it's lovely.
If I were a diehard Taylor Swift fan, I feel like I would, like, if I were one of these people that were going to like 4 different shows in Australia, I'd go with my partner and I'd just propose at every show. It doesn't need to be real. Surely you'd do that for the attention, right?
Why would you want that attention? No, you don't.
Who want to propose to someone at a concert enjoy that whole
idea.
I
disagree. I think it's the person proposing knows how much it's going to mean to the person they're proposing to, because they're probably a huge Swiftie. They've probably seen heaps of videos of people doing it and they're like, oh, that would be so nice. Or they've like completely misread it and think that their partner would like it, but their partner probably doesn't really like
partner's
it.
Partner's like, yeah,
I feel like a lot of people wouldn't like that.
There was a guy who snuck in. I think this was in the Melbourne shows. He snuck in, so his partner didn't know he was there. He waited at the end of the row and then all her friends were in on it and they like let him through. Can you imagine? Fucking nuts. That's cute.
That's a lot of effort.
So much
that
effort.
That is a lot of effort.
Especially like a lot of effort to then propose, knelt to the ground, pulled out a ring and said, marry me.
Julia.
And then it's like, and then you got to sit through the whole rest of the show.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this actually. And it was like, you know, after you propose, you usually want to talk about it. I remember Shane and I were so giddy after we got proposed, after he proposed, and we were just like, I was like, so when did you think and how did you do it and where did you hide the ring and blah, blah, blah. And oh my God. Blah, blah, blah. And we just sat and like, talked
can't
for
do all
ages
of that
afterwards.
When you're surrounded by screaming 12-year-olds.
Exactly. And then then it all ends and then you got the long trek back home before you can even like really enjoy it.
No, I don't know.
I think that might be the worst place in the world to propose, to be quite honest.
I'm sure there are people who love it. I'm sure there are people who love it. Anyway.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you got to go. It looked like a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, I think, Taylor Swift concert. Franco, you're the odd one out now.
Yeah, Franco, you're the only one who hasn't. The only thing I do want to say is that it felt a little weird having seen so much of her concert already on TikTok to then see it in person and know what was coming, and also
exactly
the fact that none of it, like none of, you know when like bands used to go to cities and they'd be like, Sydney, we love you. You'd be like, oh my God, they love us. Now you know that she said that to every other city of some iteration of I love you, you're my favorite. And then you're just like, oh. And you know, the whole thing where there's a thing where everyone claps, and I was in the merch line for this. after a song, Champagne Problems, which I didn't know before.
Oh, the old 25-minute standing ovation.
Yeah. And she just sits there and she's like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
like,
I know. That's too much for me.
It's pretty self-indulgent. And, like,
that's a bit much.
It's so much. It is so much. But I know when I'm an old lady and my grandkids go to me, were you at the Eras concert, Grandma? I'll say, yes, darling, I was. I was there for that moment. So
it is cool to say that you were there. But, like, as someone who honestly, I've never consciously put Taylor Swift on. I don't listen to her. I don't have anything against her. But I know what the show was like.
Yeah.
Because it just being existing in Australia, it's inescapable.
Yeah.
I would say that I think I said this when I went. Having seen basically the whole show on TikTok already, I was kind of just like watching TikTok, especially because, I mean, unless you're up the front, you're not really seeing her. Like, we had good seats that, you know, had we, you know, not got them at face value, people would have paid thousands of dollars for those seats here.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, she wasn't a dot, but she was still only about, from where I could see, she was still only about like 4 inches tall.
Oh, tiny.
A lot of the people that I've talked to about it said that pretty much everyone had that view. Like, there weren't really any seats that were
unless
that close to her.
Up the
only
front
on the floor.
At the stage. You're watching the screen anyway, so you
but even
like
then, she's on like a 5 meter tall stage, and there's like a 3 meter gap. Like there's no one that really has a good view, and even if you're right at the front, like you're right next to Taylor, but you're not seeing the show, you're not seeing the screens and the stage behind her and the dancers and all of that.
Mm.
There's no good way to see this show. That's my opinion.
I also think that there's a lot of people who they may be Swifties, but they're also like there for the clout in the sense that they film the whole thing or they live stream the whole thing. And I'm like, how are you actually enjoying this concert? I filmed the whole thing for my wife and I enjoyed being there, but.
Well, there was a woman who was near us. So she was like two rows below us and a little bit further. Yep. She was closer to Taylor. So I could see her clearly in my line of vision. Behind me was the back screen. So the screen that's towards the back of the stadium. And people would sometimes turn around and look at that because it felt closer and you could see it really clearly.
Yeah.
I want to say for 80% of the show, she was filming the back screen. She wasn't even facing the stage. She had her back to the stage.
What are you doing?
So I'm just in some lady's video for the whole fucking thing, looking at her being like, what are you doing? Turn around. Watch the fucking show. But nah, it was great. It was really fun. I'm really glad I went.
Great. Well, should we get to a question? Because that's what we normally do on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, I have a question here. Cheeky question from Ronnie. They've written in and they've stayed anonymous, as you can too. If you just go to the website, canwehelpyoupodcast.com, and please, if you're listening to this and you're yet to pay your listener tax, it's due. It's due every month. Pop on over.
It's not due every month.
And
it's due every question. Day.
Every day.
You must email us. If you're awake, you must email us.
Me and my partner are at the point in our relationship where we're looking to move in together or buy a house together. When we first got together, we were both earning a very similar wage. But this year, my partner got a new job and she earns significantly more than I do or ever will.
Nice.
We've spoken about this and how we can navigate when it comes to potentially living together, but we're not really sure where to start or what to do. At the moment, we have a joint account in which we add the same amount of money in weekly. that kind of pays for all the things that we do together, you know, date nights, food and all that stuff. But when it comes to living together, that amount of money might not be enough. I'm finding the whole thing kind of difficult to navigate, as there are times when she says that she's fine paying more or a little bit extra if this were to happen, but also says things like, oh, well, I've paid for a few more things than you. I've expressed I don't expect her to do any of that, but I know that it's going to be hard to equally share the same amount in either rent or a mortgage, as well as keep some personal savings to myself. On the other hand, if we combine our income, I kind of feel it won't be fair on her. And if we don't, I worry I'll be living paycheck to paycheck with little or no savings for myself. How have you guys approached the situation in your own relationships, or have you got any ideas to tackle this hurdle, as we've both never been in this position before? Please help. Thank you. Love from Ronnie.
I feel like a lot of people are in this position. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's pretty rare to find, you know, partners who work in the same industry or do the same job or anything like that. Everyone's going to kind of have a different amount that they're making. And
I feel like it's rare to find a partner who earns the exact same wage as you. Like, you know, I mean, maybe as you say, Ronnie, for a little while, like maybe when you're in entry-level work, but unless you're both doing the same job for the same company at the same level and you progress at the same time, I feel like most people have
There's
to deal with this.
There's always going to be one making more than the other,
one point or another.
What might be helpful with this, because the three of us have fairly kind of different, Jax, you and I are probably fairly similar, but Franco, I know you're a freelancer, you have, you know, a different setup. If you guys are comfortable, maybe the easiest way we can look at this one is just talk about what we did, and we don't have, because we can't give financial advice. We can't tell you how to split your money.
We are not a financial advice podcast, but just putting that out there.
Yeah, we can share our own experiences and what worked and didn't work for us, and that might be helpful.
I don't want to, like, I'm not obviously going to get into specifics, but out of Jess and I, one of us makes a lot more than the other.
Uh-huh. It's Jess, isn't it?
I don't even know what Jess does. What does Jess do?
No, Jess is a graphic designer.
Oh, my God. Can I say something really quickly before we continue that's relevant to the podcast?
Okay.
Just wanted to thank you. Sorry, guys. Pause from regular programming. I wanted to thank you for the Christmas card that you sent to me, which I only just opened.
It is the
1st of March.
What
season's
what?
Greetings to you as
Happy
well.
Happy New Year, Sash.
And Peppy. Yeah, Peppy.
Yeah, we sent a Christmas card. We sent that.
It's very cute.
I think I remember it because I mailed them all on the 1st of December. And that was exactly 3 months ago.
I love that you're bringing the 80s back as well, like sending out a Christmas card. I'm obsessed. So thank you.
Can I just chime in here? We didn't get a Christmas card.
Uh-oh.
You know what? You live in America, so I'm assuming, I'm going to take absolutely no responsibility for the Christmas cards. It was entirely Jess. The only thing I did was walk them to the post office, box.
Only needs a couple more stamps.
I think that we just decided, because we have a lot of family in America and stuff, I think that we just blanket rule didn't send to America.
I'm sorry, I can't believe you guys did Christmas cards at all. That's wild.
Yeah, Jess has done them for a few years
I love
now.
That. They're, and I love that I like we were that included idea. This year. It's absolutely beautiful. It was very strange opening my mail.
It's very unexpected, isn't it?
3 days ago, so it was late February. And I'm like, fucking Christmas card. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's how long it's been since we've checked our mail.
I'm totally aware that it's like a weird concept. If it was just me, I wouldn't be a part of it.
Lovely.
But, you know, it makes Jess very happy. It makes other people happy to open it. I'm glad you like it.
Can you please tell her I said thank you so much? Okay, because when you said she's a graphic designer, I was like, oh, that
yes,
must have
this
been
is
who
what
designed
she,
the card.
This is what she does. She likes, getting the printing right, and, you know, the envelope had like a custom sticker of our dog as the stamp.
I didn't even notice that it was your dog.
So when you're sending mail,
a lot of work.
When you're sending mail and you put a stamp on the envelope, you can customize that stamp now. So,
but like she did the calligraphy, it's just beautiful.
All right, let's get to the question.
Sorry, Ronnie. Sorry to interrupt. That just sparked that memory for me. Okay, tell us about you
As
and
I
Jess
was saying,
Franco.
One of us earns more than the other, and the way that we kind of deal with that is we put the same amount into our joint account every month. So mm-hmm. I'll put X amount and Jess puts the exact same. And the person who earns more is pretty much responsible for the savings. So if we want to have like a big holiday or something, that'll come out of like the extra that's not put into our monthly joint account.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. How do you divvy up spending? Like, do you, so you guys make your own contributions from your own pay to your joint account and then the rest is your own money? Like, you can spend it on camera gear or going out with your friends or whatever, and she doesn't see it and you don't see her own personal money as well. Like, not that it's secret, but just that you don't have.
That's pretty much how it works, but I'd say like maybe 95% of our money is in the joint account. Mm. Like, we don't really have money for ourselves unless it's like, yeah, if I'm going out with just friends just by myself and she's not there, or if we're like buying each other presents. That's pretty much the only other time I can think that we've used it.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd say most things are just go on the joint account.
I know a lot of couples, they do the whole combined income. They just chuck it all in the one joint account. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. With us, the way that we've sort of approached it is we put in, instead of a same amount, a same percentage of our pay. So if it's, you know, 40% of our pay or 50% of our pay goes into the joint account, the main living expenses come out of that, like rent and car payments and things like that. And then the other half stays in our own accounts, in our own savings, which means we then have the ability to kind of, because, you know, the one thing I don't like and I know can cause, you know, sometimes issues in relationships is, oh, I really want to go buy an iPad. And it's like, well, should you buy an iPad? Like, we only have this amount of money. Mm. But when we put in a particular percentage, that means that we each have our own savings, which we can spend on whatever we want, whether it's something for the house, you know, maybe one of us wants to shout dinner for both of us or whatever it is, spend it on whatever we want and neither of us gets to judge it.
Mm.
And, you know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, when you're in a relationship and especially once you're married, which Ronnie, sounds like you guys aren't married yet, maybe in the future, but I think you kind of end up one way or another viewing all of your money as all of your money, if that makes sense. Mm. So it's almost like a mind shift switch to be like, well, this is all of our money anyway.
Mm.
But I kind of like that we kind of, you know, have our own little pile of savings, which technically, yes, if anything happened, it would all be our money and we would do whatever we had to. But, you know, it means that we can each, you know, buy whatever we want to without judgment from the other person, without, you know, having to go through the, oh, honey, would it be okay if I bought this? You know, kind of thing.
I think that's very similar to what we're doing. It's like it's all our money. Like all of the extra money goes into our joint savings account, and it's all there. But I've still got the option. Like at the moment, I'm saving up the little bit that I kind of leave to myself, and she leaves herself the same amount. I'm kind of saving up mine to buy a PlayStation, and I've got that option. And it's a big purchase, and it doesn't need to come out of the joint account, and it doesn't need to be her problem at all.
We're fairly similar, except we do pool our money. But so one of us has always made more than the other, same as you guys. And Ronnie, let me just say this. It took Shane and I a very long time to get to a place where we are now, where it's easy and it makes sense. We were poor a lot. And when I say poor, we always had a roof over our head. We always had food to eat. Although some weeks we would dig through the pantry and go, okay, well, we've got spaghetti and we've got some Parmesan cheese. Guess that's what we're having for dinner tonight.
That sounds bloody lovely.
Oh, it always made me depressed. I was just like, fuck, man, we can't afford to go grocery shopping. But that's just life when you're in your early 20s and you're living out of home in Sydney. It's very expensive.
Yes.
It took us a very long time to get anywhere near comfortable. But the way we've done it is that so one person's pay is purely bills and rent. So as soon as that pay hits, it goes into the joint account where the rent comes out, and then slowly throughout the month, because both of us get paid monthly, all of our bills come out of that one account. But it's joint. We can both see it. We can both, and that's where we do our grocery shopping and all of that. When the other person gets paid for their month, they split it evenly. We each get, and that goes into our own separate accounts where we can spend on it as we please. That's our pure spending money. And then the other portion of that goes into our joint savings. The only difference is that if I do extra shifts or if I get paid more for a week, if I've done extra stuff at work for whatever reason, and same for Shane, that money doesn't go into the pool. That money just becomes your own fun money. And that's how we've done it for a long time. So we've saved for Europe that way, where we've put all of our joint money into the joint savings account. We've paid for stuff off that. But we can spend our own money how we want. So those are three kind of examples. I like the percentage idea, the way Jax and his partner do it. I think, Ronnie, open communication around money is really, really important.
Absolutely.
People
Absolutely.
Have different expectations. People have been brought up differently. Make sure that you've communicated your concerns, which is that you're worried that you're going to feel like you're not paying enough and they're paying too much, and come up with a solution that you both agree to, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're saying your partner earns more money. Well, but you also have a right here to be like, well, I'm sorry, I can't afford to put in $1,000 to Absolutely. Our joint every Absolutely. Month.
And that's the thing. The reason I like the percentage is that the person who earns more is often, you know, like, well, you know, firstly, I want to say I think it's important for each person in every partnership to have their own independent savings. I think that's really important. Yep. The other thing is, person who earns more, you know, they're going to be the one that is like, oh, let's go on a holiday. Oh, let's rent this more expensive place. Mm. Oh, let's go out to dinner tonight. And if it's a certain amount of money, that makes it a lot harder for you because it's like, well, I don't earn the same as you, so I can't necessarily afford to go out for dinner or pay an extra amount in rent. So that's why I kind of like the way that we do it with the percentage, because it's like, and then, you know, the person who earns more inevitably, and that's the thing with the mindset shift is that it's all your money anyway, and the person who earns more money is probably going to have to, as a total money amount, is going to spend more money anyway. That's just the way that it is.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I think you need to just, as you said, Sash, communication and regular communication about it. I think the thing that can be really hard is like you have a discussion and then it goes on for, you know, 4 or 5, 6 months and then you don't talk about it again and then things can get kind of weird. And if you have regular communication or a monthly check-in or whatever it is, hey, how's our money? Where's our money at?
Mm.
The other thing I would say is if you do have like a pooled amount, whether it's a percentage or a money amount or whatever, work together on like a budget of where that money goes.
Definitely. Oh, that's what I would 100%, we should have said that earlier, do a budget. Budget what your rent is, what you want to spend a week on groceries, all your bills that you're going to have coming out of that same account.
I kind of simplified our system before, but we literally have probably 15 different savings accounts for different things.
Oh, do you? Oh,
yeah,
I wanted to do that.
It's very structured.
It freaked me out, so I was like, well, let's just keep the two.
I think it just, if you have those clear, open communication regularly, and that's another thing, if you budget, you can say, oh, hey, you know, how's our budget going or whatever that is. That's just really easy to kind of open the conversation. And I think that really is going to put you in a position where it's a lot easier to talk about and a lot easier to come at and a lot easier to figure out, however it is that you want to figure it out. You know, the worst thing you can do is just kind of, you know, let it go and then you grow resentment for each other.
Yeah, 100%. Equal communication. Rather open communication, and as equal as you can make it, even though you're earning different amounts, and equal expectations, I think, as well.
Yeah.
If you both get your expectations on the page, how much you want to save, how much you're willing to pay for rent, all of that before you move in, you're going to be in a very good spot. Shane and I didn't do any of that, and we just went, wee, and it took, like I said, it took us 10 years, maybe not 10, it took us a good 7 years, I reckon, to really figure out our shit. But we did eventually.
The other thing is, you know, you can do, for example, there are couples who do, you know, the person who earns the most, you know, funds basically their pay, funds everything in their life, and the other pay is the couple savings. You know, that's another way to go about it. You know, you just got to figure out what's going to work for you and also be open to changing it. Like if you start and you're like, oh, yeah, my salary is going to go to our joint savings, and in 3 months you're like, no, this isn't working. You know, you're allowed to go, hey, this isn't working. Let's see if we can figure something else out.
Yeah, if you're in a, like, it's a good test of a relationship. And I think if you can both get to a place where you're happy, then it's a good sign for things to come. Good luck, Ronnie. Let us know how you go.
That's it for this episode of the Can We Help You podcast. Thanks for listening. As always, you can send your questions through at Can We Help You Podcast on your socials or canwehelpyoupodcast.com. Send your questions. Pay your listening tax. We're expecting it.
Yep, we are.
Sasha's just got to go.
Great addition.
She's
there.
Tired.
Oh, awesome. Not feeling good, guys. I am starting to get dizzy. So I've got to go lie down again.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.